roadmap before in the Bible. But you know that the Old Testament is just a, it's just a type, it's a symbol, it's an illustration of everything in the New Testament, okay? So we're going to talk about that for a little bit, but believe it or not, tonight I want to read to you from Leviticus chapter 21. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's the third book in the Bible, starting from the front. And I want to read from you Leviticus 21, and this may not make a lot of sense, but I want you to understand the instructions that were given to the high priest. It'll make sense in a little bit. The high priest, anointed with the special anointing oil and wearing the special garments, must not let his hair hang loose in mourning, nor rent his clothes. That means to tear. They had a hat they wore. He's like, hey, don't take off your hat. If you get bad news and you feel discouraged, don't take off your hat. Don't tear your clothes. And he says you shouldn't even touch any dead person, not even your father or mother. And you shouldn't leave the sanctuary, that's your place of duty, nor treat my tabernacle like an ordinary house. For the consecration of the anointing oil, and in the King James, I believe it's going to say the crown of anointing, of God is upon you. I am Jehovah, or thus says the Lord. So I wanted to set that up for you tonight, because I believe that he's going to show us through his word why we have the blues, why we get into funks, why we just feel blah, and as Sandy Pettis used to say, the woady-woes, you know, why we get in that feeling. And I also believe that he's going to show us through his word, because he's faithful, what we need to do to get out of it and how that's possible, okay? So the first thing I want you to know is that all of us hurt. My story is going to be different than your story, but we hurt the same. So the level of depth of the things I've gone through, you may think, oh, you know, that's so much worse than mine. No, it's not, because we all hurt in the same way. The enemy knows how to come at us to get us to hurt. And he's already told us, in this world you're going to have tribulation. In this world you're going to have trouble. They hated me, they're going to hate you. The second thing I want you to know is that we have to believe that this Bible is true, and we have to believe that God is who he says he is. Regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel, I've got to know that God has more power than the devil. And I'm hearing more and more Christians, I'm listening to people talk like the devil has more power than God. We're backed up in these corners like, oh, the devil. No, God has more power than the enemy. The enemy is trapped and he knows it, okay? So when an animal is trapped, don't try to help them, right? Because you know what's going to happen. The third thing I want to tell you, I'm not going to give you a formula tonight, but I am going to give you an acronym, and that's on your notes. And the acronym is PRAY. But I'm not talking pray like we're going to come down and kneel down here and get up and everything's going to be okay. I want to go through the steps that I've seen in here, what he's talking to me about that can help us. The first thing, the first letter P is persevere. Nobody else can do this for you. Guys, if you're waiting for somebody else to come in and persevere for you, that's not going to happen. You're the only one who can persevere for you. And we have to have determination, because the enemy wants to bring you to desolation. That's the only goal. Lauren and I were just talking before service, and it's like, you know, I'm going to take this week. I need a little time off. And then you give in to the enemy, and he's like, well, what do you mean taking time off? He's never going to stop the cycle of accusation. You're never going to make peace with the devil. Jesus is going to fight for you and bring you that peace. Now, tonight, I'm not talking about a fake it till you make it. I'm not talking about, oh, we're just, you know, going to exist and hang on till Jesus comes. You know, that old hymn, hold the fort till Jesus comes. No, we're going to advance. So I don't want you to think in this that I'm wanting you to fake something. I think we have the truth, and we're just going to live the truth. So that's P. The R is for read and recite. You've got to know his word. You've got to know his word. And yes, you can have those little mini devotionals that have one scripture, and if your mind is just on overload and brain fog, maybe that's where you need to be, okay? But find something in God's Word nutritionally for your spirit. We need to be feeding it. And a lot of us are anorexic. Well, I take a little bit of that and I don't like it, I'll just spit that out. And or some of us, you know, we just don't want to take time to read it, just like eating healthy food. And by the way, tomorrow night there's an intentional health class here, and we've seen it before, we've taught it, we've seen it, we know it. Eating right can bring you off medicines. Eating right can help you with your brain fog and all those other things. So if you're interested in that, that's tomorrow night. So we need to read and recite the Word. I don't just need to speak it, you know, like, oh, I think we need to not just think it, not just read it, but we need to say it. Matthew 21:21, Mark 11:23 says, speak to that mountain. You say to that thing. You don't just hope it. You don't just wish it. You speak to that thing and you tell it to go. If you've ever seen two little kids going at it, you know they get loud. First they get a little thinking they know something, and then they get a little bit louder and a little bit louder. And the reason they do it is because someone wants to be heard over the other one. They'd want to drown them out. I believe we need to take on that childlike faith and start speaking with our mouths until what we're hearing in here has to take a back seat to what I'm saying. Okay? And we need to be confident and bold. That's Philippians 1:14. Paul's talking to him. He's like, hey, even though we're imprisoned and you've seen what we've gone through, that's giving you confidence and a boldness to speak up. So I think that's going to come too. Hearing has power, absolutely. Let me just tell you, when we were up in the mountains outside of Acapulco and we'd gone up to these little towns where they don't even run buses, like we went with the bus where you could see the ground while you're driving with the goat and the chickens. We rode the bus, went up to the mountain, and we had to walk the last mile and a half to get to the church, okay? And when we got up there in that town, when we got there, there were armed guards with these machine guns like this. And they're like, now this is a communist area. And I'm like, really? Because, you know, I'm sheltered. So we go in there, and these trucks are just going up and down every little dirt road with propaganda and communist teaching and telling them how things are. And, you know, if that's all you're going to hear all the time, you're going to believe it, or they wouldn't be doing it. So we need to be speaking it, and we need to be saying it so that we're not the ones caught up in that. So tonight, here part of our roadmap, I have to persevere and read and recite, is the anointing. Isaiah 10:27, if you'll go to the next one, Isaiah 10:27 says that the anointing breaks the yoke, okay? So the anointing is what's going to come in. Now let me just explain about anointing. I just read to you about the priest, right? And he's saying to the priest, hey, don't take your hat off, don't rip your clothes, don't go, you know, touch dead things, don't leave your place of ministry. Stay in the temple is basically what he was saying to them then. So now we're going to back up and we're going to look at Leviticus 10. That's just a few pages back. And let me set up the scenario for you. The temple has just been rebuilt, okay? And now, you know, Steve had that illustration Sunday about the curtain and where it was and how the Holy of Holies was behind the curtain and nobody could go back there but the high priest. So the curtain is set up, and they're coming in, and now they've just got it built, and they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, and like they're seeing it with their own eyes. Like this cloud of glory from God comes down from the sky. Can you, like, you know, we have these things on movies that children believe are true that aren't real, but it looks so real, but they really saw the presence of God come down and rest on the top of that. And they were so excited about it. The temple's ready. The presence of God is with us. They were like, oh, you know, it was just phenomenal. It was an amazing, unbelievable thing. And they got so excited that they just began to celebrate and shout. I mean, think about it. If you're going about your business and all of a sudden every computer screen, every cell phone, every television, all those monitors in Times Square and all those offices, and everything switches, you know, to the Mount of Olives, and you, they're actually showing you Jesus coming down and splitting open the mountain. I mean, we'd all just be like, you know, some of us would be falling down, pleading the blood, and some of us would be, you know, shouting, whatever. Get the picture. It was that real. So here they are now, and here's Aaron's two sons. Follow me with the spirit, okay, not just the flesh. But Aaron had four sons. Aaron is the high priest. He's the older brother of Moses, who's the leader of the country, right? He's leading them out, Genesis, Exodus, leading them out, and Leviticus. They're out. Now they've been given the law. They're learning what to do and what not to do. So he comes in, and his two sons, the first two, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, placed unholy fire in their censers. Now, the King James Version is going to say a strange fire. Put a strange fire in there. That means foreign or different. When the altar of sacrifice came, when his spirit came down, he lit that fire. And he told them, don't use any other fire to light your censers or to burn sacrifices other than what I've done. Don't put your spin on it with me. Use my fire. So they're so excited, it says that they came in with an unholy fire. I don't know what they had and how they lit it, but they lit the censers. And it says that the incense came before the Lord, and contrary to what he commanded them. So the fire blazed forth from the presence of the Lord and destroyed them. And the Lord said to Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will show myself holy among those who approach me, and I will be glorified between all people, before all people. And Moses is speechless. But then you move down to verse 8, and here's Moses. He's talking to him. Verse 6, then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. So four sons, two just got struck down, the other two are still alive, and they're all priests. Okay? The tribe of Levi, Aaron and his sons, if you were in that tribe and you had that blood, like if, you know, if I was in the Pardo family, and the Pardo family are the priest, I'd have to be a member of the Pardo family for that blood. Well, that's why we're all priests now. That's why he said we are all kings and priests as unto the Lord, because you're like going, what? That's Old Testament. Stay with me. But remember this, because those, you and I, are in the bloodline now. We get to be priests. So he's talking to the two that are still alive, and he's like, look, you're going to have to follow the commands of God. Remember, there's not grace and mercy at this point. You with me? It's do or die. So here they are, and they took their own fire. Well, is that relevant to today? Yes, because 1 Peter 2:5 says, we as believers are a royal priesthood, so we're priests and priestesses. Now, I don't see any of y'all coming up in here next week, no collar on or nothing. I'm just letting you know that's who we are with the Lord, okay? So now, the reality is for believers, and that's each of us. But let me give you just a quick, simple definition of what a priest does and what he is, okay? The first thing is, a priest is sent to stand before the people on behalf of God, okay? That's the first thing. They're going to stand before the people on behalf of God. So the guy who does our taxes came in last year, and he said, hey, listen, you guys, you don't have to, if you don't tell about this, because we don't have insurance, if you don't tell that, we can probably slide that by this year and you won't get that penalty. And I was like, no, I'm going to represent God to the people. And I'm like, no, that's not who we are. We're people of integrity, and if I owe it, I'm going to pay it, okay? That's how we roll. Oh, that's very admirable, but you know, no. So I'm going to stand before the people on behalf of God. When I stand in that place and I say, I'm going to do what God wants, that's going to affect you and my family and everything else that I touch. But the second thing that a priest does is he stands before God on behalf of people. Anybody in here ever pray for somebody else? Okay, that is standing before God for people. So those are the two jobs that we're going to have as a priest. So again, you can't touch any dead body, you can't leave the sanctuary, can't rend or tear your garment. You know, back in the 90s and probably in the 2000s, you know, Hulk Hogan, they had this thing where you go, he'd rip this, you know, jersey off of him. And, you know, now we have the Hulk and he gets mad and his eyes turn green. And then, you know, he gets empowered and his clothes just rip off of him. So God was telling them, as a priest, I don't want any rending of garments. I don't want anything. I don't want you to do that. I want you to stay in what I've given you. So we see in Genesis 3, 37, where Jacob learned that Joseph was dead. His brothers came in and gave him this bloody coat and said, oh, you know, he's been torn up by wild animals. He's dead. And we see where Jacob rends his clothes. He tears them because it was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of grief. And I do believe that today the removal of a cap goes back to those Jewish traditions where it shows respect or honor, or you're yielding your haughtiness, or I can't think of the right word, but you're yielding and you're just showing honor to someone else over grief or the flag or whatever it is. And so he came in and he did that. In 2 Samuel 1, we see where when Saul and Jonathan were dead and David gets this report that he's dead, he just rips his clothes. He's like, you know, oh no, may it never be. So I'm thinking about this, and then I realize that was the crown of the anointing, okay? It was on these people, but they weren't the ones who were in the tabernacle ministering before the Lord day and night, because now they wanted a king, so things have changed. Now, when we talk about the oil, the anointing of the oil, that is a type, that is a picture, that is an illustration of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, you don't do these things because the oil of anointing, the crown, if you're reading the King James, that rests on you. So that's why I don't want you to get involved in these things. So I want you to know tonight, even though we realize that the tabernacle was finished and everybody's getting all excited, woohoo, and they're going through it, you still have to stay in agreement with God. And so Moses comes in and says to him, hey, don't freak out and start doing what everybody else is doing. Let the other people do the mourning. Let them do the wailing for you. You stay in your place of ministry. Don't leave it. So now they're going back. They're at the altar. The altar is a type, it is a picture, it is an illustration of Jesus. So the Old Testament is always going to show us what there is in the New Testament. So it's talking about the altar. While the altar is the place where Jesus died for us, there was the shedding of blood. The altar is the place of death. But our death, the only death that we're ever going to know, is when we change from flesh to our spiritual bodies, okay? Because Jesus has already paid the price for our sins. We don't need to sacrifice anything at the altar. God wants our hearts on fire, and God's the one who's going to light the fire. When I try to make something work and get excited and, you know, I'm just going to stir this, I'm just going to make this happen. When I start doing that instead of the Spirit of God, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get burned up instead of on fire for God. Because you'll burn out. When it's not His fire, when it's you, when it's you, well, I'm going to do this. This makes me feel good. I'm going to go with this. Man, yeah. So we burn out. And I believe that's what He was showing them. And you want to go, you know, well, man, God, is He mean? Here's Aaron. He just lost a son. He's devastated. And boy, it seems so mean that God's telling him, hey, stay here. Don't do that. Are there any of you in here that if you saw your child or a parent, for those of you who have older parents now, about to do something to hurt themselves, would you not say, stop? Wouldn't you try to? Listen, God is a caring, He's a good, good Father. He's wanting to show us here's some limitations. Don't go over this. He's not harsh. He has boundaries. And the key to navigating a successful life in heartache, sorrow, or difficulty, or tragedy, you need to know none of us are immune, and we're all going to have to deal with it. And if you believe, because you're a Christian, that you never have to suffer, that you never have to go through hardships, that he's paid the price, he paid the price, but he paid the price for when you go through things, you're going to have a way out. Okay? Because this world isn't centered around the things of God. So how can we move forward and not bring the past? You know, I can't see. I can't understand. I don't know what's happening. Well, if the Spirit, the oil, if that's coming on us and Jesus is there and he's told us, hey, now the oil, the Spirit, that anointing is not just something that protects, but it's a comforter and it's a counselor. So the anointing is the difference. The common denominator in the Old Testament and the New Testament is the provision for your joy and your peace. And he's saying, hey, as a priest, don't get caught up in this stuff. Isaiah 61:3 says that he gives beauty for ashes. Even if you're burned up, I am just fried over this. I am mad. Even if you get to that point, there's beauty for ashes, there's the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise. You know why we need the garment of praise? Because the spirit of heaviness wants to come on you, and we need to keep that garment and not rend it off. Every desert experience almost always is going to follow the anointing. So if you're the anointed one, guess what's going to follow? After you have those great, woo, Sunday, Jesus, that was wonderful. Wasn't that a good service? Woo, that was so good. So right after the anointing, we know in the New Testament, the Spirit, if you'll read it, is what led Jesus into the wilderness. The devil didn't trap him. He was led to it. Why? Because his power requires the durability only that a test can build in me. His power requires me to have durability that only a test can bring. I'll give you an example. Our kids are little, and they're so cute. And they're just learning how to walk, and so they can carry their toys, and they toddle around. They can pick up a few things. And boy, they get ready to get in school. And then some mean athletic director comes along and says, all right, I want your kids here at 6:30. We're going to run a mile. And you're like, oh, no. No, not my precious. No, they have muscles, but we want to save those. Those are God's gifts. Let's don't press anything. Let's don't push hard on anything. Well, you know what's going to happen? The muscles that they have that is built for durability and strength, if not challenged, will become weak and atrophied. And it's the same thing, guys, with the anointing. You and I don't have to wait for an altar experience to have the anointing. You have the anointing right now. You have been anointed by God to overcome. That crown of anointing oil has been placed on your head because he says, we have become as kings and priests unto the Lord. Well, what's that? Go back and let's repeat it. That's going before the people on behalf of God, standing up and saying what's right, whether that's in your workplace or in your home, and going before God on behalf of the people. They don't even have to know it. I don't think half the people know who's praying for who, right? Is anybody praying for Katy Perry? You need to call her back home. That girl was raised in church. You know, Bernice, Steve's mom, loves The Voice. We're watching The Voice again this season. And we just mark off how many of them. Roots in church, started in church. Why? The enemy wants to take that anointing and switch it for fame and fortune. Now, I'm not saying that some of them don't have the right heart and want to get out there so they can open up for their own message and to have an outlet. And one little girl, bless her heart, she just said, I'm in it for Jesus. This is what I want. But you have to understand, the enemy cannot steal your anointing. He can't. He can talk you out of it. He can get you to get in agreement with him. That's why we've got to know what we believe. And instead of resent him, I think we need to repent. And repentance means to change your mind how you feel about something. And instead of being 70% in agreement with the devil, well, mama had it, you're going to get it, daddy had it, your life's going to bring this on you, I need to get in agreement. The 30% needs to get under the anointing and begin to say, God, your word says, and that's what I mean, recite it, say it out loud. Nobody else has to be around you. You ain't going to look crazy. But get in there and say, I refuse to believe that I'm going to die from this. I refuse to believe that this heartache is going to kill me. I refuse to believe that this is the last time I'm going to have love. I refuse to believe that God is going to let us go downhill and be ashamed in this community. I refuse to believe it. I get in agreement. Now I am operating in agreement with the Spirit of God, and my faith, not what I see, but doesn't it feel good to say, I can't believe that happened to me, and I didn't do anything to deserve that. And let me give you a good example of something to do when that happens. Realize that the enemy only comes for people who have value. So I'm in California, okay? Like these, the covens there openly worship, the witch covens openly worship on the beach at full moons and stuff, and they would come in the restaurants and take their hoods off and eat with the rest of us, okay? That's reality. So, you know, everybody's fearful. It's a full moon. They're going to be out there, you know. Go home and be afraid. No. So here's the thing. They call on the phone. And, sure enough, we got in the attic. We sacrificed a pigeon to the devil. And at first I'm like, oh, they've been in the attic. And then I'm like, then I'm insulted. And I'm like, and I said this, a pigeon? Really? I'm not worth an elephant? That's all I am? That's what? And the guy so freaked out, he quits using the demon tone. And he goes, well, and he says in a plain voice, my people pray 24 hours a day. How long do your people pray? And I was like, it don't matter how long they pray. I just say the name of Jesus and it's got more power than 24 hours. You see what I'm saying? But we get in agreement with those things and we begin to believe that they have more power than us. And we lose out on the anointing out of fear and doubt. I got to know who I believe. But when I get angry enough, then I'm like, hey. And so after I hung up the phone, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, because we were in a hard place. You know, they're all wealthy, and we're living in the fellowship hall. No joke. And, God provided. This little lady drove up in her, whatever kind of fancy car and DeLorean, and, Jake thinks it's Batmobile come over, and she brings over these brand new clothes that her girls didn't want to wear, that they didn't like with, seriously, guys, in the 80s, $150 price tags on the jeans and these shirts that were $100. And my little girls are going over with movie star kids, and that's no joke. And they're in these Angora sweaters and leather skirts, and they got carrot diamonds in their ears, and here's my kids from the Carter's Outlet, you know what I'm saying? And so now I don't have to feel like, God provided. But I want you to understand, God will provide. But he's the one who's going to decide what I need and when I need it, or I'm going to get dependent on me and my fire. Are you following me? I'm going to get dependent on me and what I can bring to this situation instead of asking him to come in and intervene. I need to exercise that faith. When the blues come, when the emotional feelings, I shouldn't monitor my emotions. You're getting in trouble if you're monitoring your emotions. You're getting in trouble when you dwell on, well, I'm just in this funk. I don't know what it is. Whatever. I'm just going to have to deal with this, so I'm going to hide. I told you last week, isolation is the worst thing you can do when you're in the funk. That's when the devil can get behind you and beat you up. You've got to stay in the anointing. Will you say that? Stay in the anointing. look at somebody else and say, stay in the anointing. You got it? All right. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm doing it because she told me. Listen, if you want, he is showing us how we get into this is by thinking that we can do something to get out. So, man, here's Moses, the younger brother, telling the other brother, remember what God said and don't leave your position of authority because that's where your anointing is. Guys, when you have to take a break, now Steve has always told me, Gay, if they say God says, don't argue. It's over. That's like the trump card so that they don't have to do anything you say. Jesus, the Lord told me, okay? So we don't, you know, the Lord told me you need to give me that shirt, okay? Just let me go change and I'll give you the shirt, right? We're not going to argue. But here's the thing. You come in here and he's telling them, don't leave your place of authority. Well, here's the thing, guys. Can I just admit to you that I don't have all the answers? I don't know everything. But I have an anointing on my life, not because of anything I did to deserve it, but because of the promises of Jesus when at the altar, he was the one who sacrificed for me. So, yeah. So we're going through this hard time. It's been 15 years since Leah died, our daughter. And so, you know, it's a new place for us. I can feel that, you know, we're all going to separate rooms. We're not together anymore. We're all grieving in our own way. And so we come and we get ready to have this funeral. And gosh, I don't remember, Steve, we called 3 or 4 people and nobody would do the funeral. Couldn't get anybody to do the funeral for us. Well, no, it's just too hard for us. We knew her. We loved her. I mean, even the dean of students at Southwestern College where she was, we thought, well, he's like, no, guys, I just can't do it. And we're like, really? Well, you know what? We'll do it. So we each took a part in the funeral. And I recorded mine, if you'll remember, because you all know what a baby I am. And so mine was recorded, my part. Steve leads. I did my part. Charity did her part. Jake had a part. I think Dean Eldridge, some, you know, may have had a part, whatever. But we ended up doing that ourselves. And we didn't go, well, that's so terrible. No, God, you know, thank you that you're going to give us the strength to do that if that's how it works. So Steve's cousin, Randy, who had lost a 12-year-old daughter, he ministers in New Mexico. And his 12-year-old daughter, he came, they were in the house, and she was on the couch, and she had a seizure and died. And they were heartbroken. So Randy, you may remember this, Steve. So Randy, and Dean, I think you were on the board then. So Randy comes in and says to Steve, hey, I want to meet with your board, you know, after this has happened. We're like, oh, sure, whatever, we trust you. So the sweetest thing, it was so sweet. So Randy talks to the board and he says, hey, they're going to need a month off with pay so that they can heal and they can, you know, get back together because this is, you know, a grievous time and they need to pull away and get healing. And so we're stunned because we didn't know what he was going to say. So Steve's like, no, we're not going to do that. Now, I wasn't smart enough to know stay in the anointing. Even though it's in the Word, because I put that in the Old Testament. Are you following me tonight? But there's a New Testament truth to it that if I get out from under the anointing, the place where I'm supposed to be ministering, then I have to light my own fire. And I'm going to get burned up. But if I'm walking under His anointing, anybody know that scripture in Isaiah? His yoke is easy, and it says, and the anointing that breaks the yoke. Do you know what that really means? If you read in some newer translations, it says you get a fat neck. And I was like, dude, I wouldn't be having no fat neck. But what it's really saying is you're under a yoke of oppression, and it's made so that it doesn't rub anything, so that you'll be more productive for your master, the slave, the taskmaster. But when you become stronger and stronger, your neck, see those guys with those giant necks? You're like, ooh, dude, he working out, right? The neck gets so big that it would break the yoke. The anointing get so strong on you during testing that you overcome by your testimony, and you get so strong that it breaks the yoke off of you without you having to do it. Man, so we're like, no. Now listen, I didn't know that, but he came here, he said, I just told him no. I said, well, honey, what would happen? Everybody's hurting like us. If we left, we would just be saying that, you know, God can't do this. We need to find God in this and bring the sheep together, not scatter. I just felt like everybody would just grieve and hurt and scatter because we wouldn't hear from each other. I didn't know that. But I know now it's because your strength is under your anointing. The enemy wants to separate you from your place of ministry and your place of life-giving Jesus, because if the fire is not from him, you'll burn out. And if you do X, Y, and Z to keep yourself happy, you're going to have to keep doing X, Y, and Z to keep getting that feel good, but it's not joy. Because you can have joy in the midst of heartache. Oh, I don't mean you're going to do the happy dance, but I mean you can just go, you know what? I trust you, God. I repent from believing that there's something I can do to make this happen. I repent, God, from being angry at me and listening to the devil and believing that I'm not worth a flip. And I repent, God, from not speaking your word over my house and allowing these things to take precedence over your place in my life. Guys, that's what it is. It's getting in agreement with him. It's believing that he's more powerful than you and that he's not mean and abandoning you. He's working on your neck. He's wanting to break some yokes. Are you with me? The anointing. Stay in the anointing. And even though we didn't know to do it right, we did it right. But here's the thing. Sometimes you have to not get, but give. And not give up, but give out. And you see, Moses knew that Aaron had to stay in the place of leadership for the sake of all the other people. Well, you know, that seems really horrible. Jesus is the Savior now. We don't need to be doing that for other people. Well, let me just go in here and let's look at some people who did it. So I'm thinking right now that when I'm depressed, right after everything happened with Leah, my mom came straight from the hospital having a port put in because she had cancer. And they didn't even want to let her out of the hospital. She was very weak, but she wasn't going to miss this sweet little thing. And so they fly her right from the hospital here. And she's weak and worn out. Well, she needed help. So I tried to get things organized here. And I would go and I would stay with her and work her through chemo. And she got so violently ill from chemo, it was horrible. And we had to work through all that. We're in a hotel in Memphis where my sister was running a hospital at that time. And, you know, they were getting the treatments there. And I'm sure mom was getting a lot better care than she would anywhere else because my sister had the checkbook for all the doctors. But, you know, here we are and we're in this hotel. But guess what happened? Because I had to take care of her, I didn't have time to think about me. You with me? So, yeah. So here's Peter and John and all the teachings we've been through and going through. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, now we're into 1 John. And these guys are doing the same thing. They're having horrible trials and they're being persecuted and mocked. But because they wanted us not to lose faith in God, they put themselves second and said, hey, stick with it. And that's that part out of Philippians 1:14 where he says, you've seen what we've been through. That should give you confidence and more boldness to speak because you got to stay under the anointing. But boy, I'm telling you, we got to change our pity to praise. I got to change my position in this. I got to get my eyes off myself. I can't dive into the emotional pool of how am I. I can't dwell on how bad this is or how bad they are. I can't let fear grip me until I can't sleep. And please listen to this one. I can't replay the pity song over and over in my head until I want to kill myself because I've believed there's no hope. Well, don't act like you don't ever think about it, because I bet every one of us in here thought I'd be better off dead and meant it at one point or another. And if you haven't, praise God, stay in your anointing. Don't ever give up. The devil knows that he can't take your strength and your anointing, but he can get you to get in agreement with him that you don't deserve it and that you shouldn't have it. We do all that when we agree with him, and we don't want to agree with him. So how do I agree with the devil? I'm not going to Bible study tonight. It's probably not going to do me any good. You know what? I'm just going to sit here and turn on a movie, and I'll order pizza. I just need a break. Let's all laugh. Ha, ha, ha. That's not us. Yeah? And you know what? I just need a break. I need a break from church. I'm just going to take a break from that. And I can tell you right now that everybody, you know, not to be critical, but go in your Rolodex in your mind of everybody that said they needed to take a break. Do they get better or worse? Are we in agreement on that? Okay. How many of us know it for a fact? Yeah. I'm not going to do that because I need a break. Well, you're breaking, all right. You're breaking down your spirit, and your spirit gets weak and sick because there is no nutrition in it. And, hey, it's not just about church. I'm going to take a break from that man. Take me a break. I had it up in here. I'm taking me a break. And, boy, you break and you separate, and guess what happens? Does your marriage get stronger or weaker? Please say it. Yes, it does. Why? Because now the enemy's got you isolated, and all of a sudden he's looking at women he wasn't never looking at before because you ain't in a bed no more. Ooh. Okay, did you say it? Yes, I said it. Right? And you who've taken a break, women, you're thinking, oh, I deserve better. Here, come, I'm going to get me better. And then after better doesn't come along, you realize you didn't have it so bad because you get under the anointing, because where you're married is where your ministry is. Stay in the anointing. You are anointed to be the priest over that home, mister. You are anointed to be the dad to those children. Ma'am, you are anointed to be the one who helps and hears God and who pulls alongside and believes in and hopes for. You're the anointed one to be the mom over those children. You're the one in the right neighborhood. Barking dog, start praying. My neighbor had 5. We ain't got none now. Woo! Jesus. Right? Because I'm anointed for that house. Well, I'm just going to wait till my kids graduate, and then I'm going to give me a divorce. I've been saving my money. I'm up for it. Yeah, let me tell you about that. I'll tell you about that. We're married, and we have 3 children, and Steve's parents get a divorce, and his heart is broken. I don't care how old you are. His heart was broken. Why? Because the anointing broke off his father. And if you've never experienced both your parents dying, let me just tell you, when it's a spiritual death, it's like a natural death. And I felt orphaned and rootless when both my parents were gone. I don't know how else to explain it. Some of you are nodding like, I felt that too. That's what it feels like in the spirit, no matter how old. Well, you know, they're adults now. They don't need me. No, sir. Because I'm going to represent God to the people, and I'm going to represent the people to God. And that doesn't mean I pray the prayer of salvation over them. What that means is that I still come in with the power and the authority of God and say, that is flesh of my flesh, and I stand in, and I call them home, God. I'm seeing it, and I don't like it, and I'm calling them home, Jesus. I'm believing for safety. Lord, don't let evil get to them and don't let them get to evil. God, I see that on my grandchildren. I see something in them. I see depression. I see, come on, we're going to sing us a happy song. Let's get in here and sing some. And we'll just dance and have the hairbrushes and start dancing and singing. And before you know it, everybody's happy again. Because you're put in a place of anointing. Don't believe that your anointing doesn't matter, because it does. And he's called you to that place. And that anointing is what's going to keep you sane. Now, let's move to the New Testament. I've heard enough old. Let me have some new. Okay, we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to stay in our sanctuary. And you're saying, well, you know, that Old Testament teaching, don't you think you're stretching that scripture a little bit far to get me to go out with that? So who is our great high priest? Say it louder. I've told y'all, y'all have to move in and speak louder for that internet thing. All right. So Jesus is the great high priest. So Jesus is at this place where his humanness, he's hurting so bad that he says to his own father, look, I don't want to do this. That should give you hope that it's okay for you to tell dad when there's things you don't want to do, but for him to love on you and bring peace to you so that you can complete the task before you. He says, I don't want to do this. And he says, nevertheless, hey, not what I want. What do you want, dad? Tell me what you want. Because the altar's been prepared. The altar, that place, Golgotha, Calvary. Wow. So here he is, and instead of thinking about himself, he's going to reach out. Here's your stay in the anointing, okay? Persevere, read and recite, stay in your anointing, and I want you to repeat this after me. Look out for someone else. One more time. There's two of you still not saying it. Okay, we're in agreement. Yeah, because you know what? Sometimes looking out for somebody else is going to save you. Because what I can't do for me, I can do for you. Right? See, I don't want to stay under my anointing as a mother. My kids are grown. But when they're hurting and they're crying and they know who I am to them, Dwayne, I can keep going. Because they're counting on me. Even as an adult, I learned from Steve, my kids are still counting on me to show them how to live. And they aren't counting on me to get everything right. They're just counting on me to stay under the anointing and keep leading them back to Jesus, whether I get it right or wrong. But the more right I get it, I'm breaking that yoke off. So here we are in the New Testament. And here's Jesus on the cross. Anybody believe that he was not hurting? Raise your hand. Anybody in here, have you ever, like, got your foot stepped on or hit your little toe on the corner of a bed and you just thought you were in tremendous pain? So can we all agree, just amplify that a billion, and that's what he was feeling? Right? So he goes, and he's on the cross, and what's he doing? He's taking care of somebody else's soul. Lord, is there any hope for me? Yes, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He's taking care of some of a lost soul while he's on the cross because he's still in his anointing. He looks down from the cross. You've heard the teaching. Steve's been doing it for 7 weeks. He looks down, and he says, hey, Mom, that's your son. Son, that's your mom. So he's caring for the lost. He's still caring for his family. And then he cares for every one of us because he says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And he's dying, but he's taking care of somebody else. And that's what keeps you from depression. So, man, that guy calls me on the phone and I'm worth nothing but a pigeon. I was like, dude, you're going to pay for that. Now, maybe that makes me a mean person, but it sure turned. And I got down the church directory, and I wrote everybody in that directory an encouragement card that day. And I thought, if you're trying to take me down, I'm going to make you pay. You're going to rue the day you mess with me. Now, I don't always feel that good about it, but that day I got the book out, and I was like, I want you to know you're, and I said everything to those people that I needed somebody to say to me. And I'm telling you, by the time I finished that Rolodex, I was feeling pretty good. Because it's not about me. It's about the anointing flowing, giving that spirit of life. At our house, we have this thing called bellows. If I'd have had time, I'd have gone and got them. It would have been a brilliant illustration. But we have these things, and they're like this, and they kind of look like the shape of an ace or something in cards, and you just pull these things together, and all of a sudden, this big puff of air comes out of them, and you can do this on your fireplace, and even if you got this much, you just do this, and man, that little thing will get to going. Listen to me. When you feel your fire's getting low, you need to put the breath of God in there. Woo! Jesus, I'm trusting you, Lord. I believe what you say. And you give some fuel to that fire. And by the time you're done, you're spent out, and all those emotions you would have wasted, you've given to him, and you're just emptied out and so happy you can't even take it. So here's Jesus. He took care of them on the cross. Not only did he do that, but the soldiers, okay, before he went to the cross, because remember, you can't rend your clothes, right? So the soldier, if you're going to be a high priest, stay with me. So the soldiers go in, and they've bound his hands, and they take him before Caiaphas. And Caiaphas is the high priest, okay? So Caiaphas says, go ahead. Did you say you're the Son of God? Because all these witnesses have come and told all these stories. And Jesus, what does he say? Nothing. I don't need to say that. So Caiaphas comes in. He says, I adjure you in the name of the living God. Speak to me and say, are you the Son of God? And boy, he's calling on the power of his daddy. So he's like, you said it. You said it. I don't have to. But he goes on and he makes his statement. He said, not only that, but you're going to see me coming back in the clouds of glory. You're going to see it with your own eyes. You're going to see the glory. And man, Caiaphas got so mad, he just took his garment and went, rip! And that disqualified him right there, according to Leviticus 21, from being a high priest any longer. And that was prophetic because the people needed to quit looking to a man to be the high priest. And now it was up to Jesus because he was disqualified according to the law. So here's Jesus, and he goes in, and wasn't nobody saying, tore his garment, disqualified. Because the feeding frenzy's there of hatred. When this world that we live in, and it's doing it, if there's a hate-o-meter, it's about to hit the red part. This world is wanting you to feed on offense and hatred. And get you to tear off your garments in anger. Don't do it. They are going to mock you. They are going to try to steal your joy. They are going to tell you you're an idiot. You can't serve on this board or this community because of your belief. And let me tell you something, that board and that community, if that's how you're getting your fulfillment, it's a fire that's going to burn out. Your joy comes from the Lord. Dude. So now, he's dead, okay? Jesus is dead. And the soldiers, it was the Roman soldiers' tradition that they always took their garments and they would tear them and share them. Well, the word says, I believe it's in Matthew 19, says that when the soldiers went to his, they realized his garment was one piece. Stay with me. His garment was one piece. There were no seams in it. Okay? The way it was made. His outer cloak. And it says they took his cloak and they said, let's don't rend this garment. Jesus stayed qualified as the high priest according to man. because he was under the anointing and God protected him even under the anointing, and he didn't get any emotions. And at the same time they're doing that, what was rent in the temple? The curtain, the veil. And you heard Steve talk about that, and it was rent from top to bottom. 60 feet by 30 feet. That's how big it was. 60 feet by 30 feet. You know, anybody ever try to tear material and you tear it a little and then you can't finish it? Not only was it 60 feet by 30 feet, but the word says that it was like the hand a width. And they actually, scholars believe it was about 4 inches wide. Now, in case you don't know, girls who sew, we know this. From one knuckle to the other is about an inch. So you can take four of those and you got a hand. So a hand width, all right? It's 4 inches thick, and it's been loomed. And it took 80 maidens, could only make two of them a year. And it took 300 priests, because of the weight of it, and only a priest could touch it, to dye it the colors and make it what it should be and hang it back up. And right when he's going, that rips. Coincidence? I don't think so. I think it was saying, no longer do you need a priest, be the priest. And you got a holy priest you can go to, but you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light who's in me. Right? We're on the hill. We should be seen. And the world's wanting to take your voice from you. So now we know how these things happen. We know why they happen, but how can we stay under the anointing? Here's your why. The letter Y in pray, in our acrostic. You have to yield. You have to yield. You have to say, and listen, believe me, I probably need some witnesses to this, but let me just tell you the fact. Have you ever said to the Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm not happy about it. I feel cheated. I feel like everybody else gets to get by with this kind of stuff. And I do one little thing and you shine the light on me. I've said it. And I've told him, it's not right. Listen, I've said this. It's not right. They get to choose whether they're coming to church or not, and I don't. Well, because I need his fire. If I get in agreement with that principle, if you get something I don't, I'm not looking at him, I'm looking at you. And if I'm going to look at you and you're my standard, we're all in trouble. Because you and me aren't going to be smart enough to overcome. But something in us in that time, what happened to Leah, I didn't know these words. I didn't know that. All I knew was, I knew that David fasted after his son with Bathsheba. And the Bible calls him Hittite's, his wife. I can't. It's not Hittite. That's a culture. But anyway, he says it's his wife, the baby he had with his wife. And yet he was grieved that they got the report, and Samuel had told him this is going to happen. But the word, I knew this much of the word, that it said he fasted. And they were all worried about him. But for some reason, I put together what David did with what Jesus did. And I said, after Leah died, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Please listen to this. When you feel like you just can't go on, when you feel like death to your soul is imminent, give it 3 days. I'm just saying, if it took the Son of God 3 days to come up, why do I think I can't make it more than a day? Who's with me on this? And I tied those two truths together, and I fasted for 3 days. And here we're all grieving and everything, and I think I've told you this, my sweet little Jake. I'm in the bathtub, and I would go in the bathtub to cry and sob. So because I had to be strong for my kids. And I'm sure they knew what I was doing. And I remember holding myself into the pillow at night so nobody could hear me, right? So I'm in there, and I'm doing my thing in the bathtub, and all of a sudden there's this little knock on my door. And Jake's like, Mama, he always calls me Mama when he's tender. Mama, I was like, yes, I'm in the bathtub. I know. Mom, I know you haven't been eating. I brought you a chai tea from Nordstrom. It's spiced chai tea, y'all. It's like liquid pumpkin pie. So good. Once you have that, Starbucks is like liquid perfume. So he said, I'm leaving you this spiced chai by the door, and I want you to have it, Mom. Well, what he didn't know was I had taken a cracker in there, and I thought, I'm going to break this fast with a cracker, and I'm going to take communion. And I had my little glass of water from, you know, toothpaste or whatever, you know, and I'm going to do this. And it was like the Lord said to me, I will provide for you. When you follow me, I'm going to provide. It's going to be better than you can provide for yourself. And I took communion that day with a saltine and spiced chai tea from Nordstrom. And you know what? It felt so good to me. And I never got sick, you guys. I never was weak. But I believe that during that time, that was something where God was cleansing me out. But Steve and I knew we had to stay under the anointing. That don't think I'm trying to be puffed up. Don't think there weren't times I didn't want to come. But stay under the place where the fire of God, go to the altar where he's lit the fire, not you making the fire happen. Yes, yield yourself to the Lord. And here's the thing. Jesus, he's going on to Golgotha. He takes care of all that. The soldiers can't even rend his garment because the Word of God, the Spirit of God, moves on people who don't even believe to do the right thing. You know, we're having all this trouble with the insurance company not wanting to pay, right? So today the guy calls me from Blackman Mooring for this bill that's about $20,000, whatever it is. And he's like, hey, I just need another update because this is like January and this is like March. And I said, you know, I called his name and I said, I've been updating you every time I get something. He said, I know, but what I want you to know is Blackman Mooring doesn't pay me. I don't get paid until the bill's paid. And I was like, I am so sorry. I didn't know that. And he said, can you just tell me why they're not paying this? And I told him, well, they said the heat wasn't on. He said, I've been doing this for 25 years and I've never heard that one. And he said, I got a guy that does stuff like that, that worked in the insurance field. I said, well, our board said we're going to go to, you know, a public adjuster. We're not going to take this laying down. And he's like, hey, you know what, Gay? Can I call this guy and get some advice from him? I owe the dude money. And he's like calling to help me collect. I'd say that's God moving on people in ways that I can't do. Do you mind if I call him, Gay? Because I've never heard of that. They're just trying to get out of it. I said, well, I feel the same way, but I'm stuck. They said this engineer, he said, let me call him. Maybe we can get something rolling. I was like, okay. Hey, listen. God can use the unsaved to align you where you need to be if you're looking out for the unsaved more than you're looking out for yourself, more than what I can get out of them. Lord, help me. We're on a plane coming back from Little Rock, and it's late at night because we didn't want to miss church, and my niece had gotten married, and so we had to take the last flight out was like 9:30 or whatever. So, I mean, we don't even stay for the reception. We got her married. We got in the car, got back to the airport. We're on the plane, and there's a big old storm, and like literally lightning is going by your window. You know, well, everybody wants to get scared. I got three kids. I can't get scared. If I go down, they going down. So I'm like, woo, raise your hands. We're fixing to hit a big one. This is going to be fun. You know, I'm just lying. I'm like, woo, this is going to be fun. And we hit that air pocket, and we're like, woo. And so I turn around, and there's other people doing it, like adults. Okay, and it's one of those planes, like there's three seats and, you know, like one here and two here, right? So, you know, if you go, you ain't got much meat on you, okay? So I'm like, whoa. So Steve, and he's got two, and I got one. And so I was like, whoa. So we're doing this, and I look back, and I notice all these people. And so the stewardess is like, thank you, thank you. So I'm like, okay, so boy, we heard a crack. And the pilot comes on, he said, there's nothing, we're not hit, everything's good. We can't turn around. We're like, good, we don't want to miss church. He's like, we can't turn around, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going, and I just need you all to remain calm because according to the radar, it's going to get a little rocky, and I can't go up higher right now. They're telling me to stay low. Well, everybody's freaking out. I'm going to tell y'all what your brave pastor did, and y'all figure this out. So everybody's, you know, starting to freak out, and they're getting loud. And he goes, okay, kids, here's what we're going to do. And we're like on the front, right, because we got the kids and nobody wants to sit around them. So we're on the front. He goes, kids, lean your head over. So everybody puts their head in their lap. He goes, all right, here's what I want you to do. Spread your legs apart and kiss your rear goodbye. And, I mean, everybody on that plane was laughing so hard. Guys, we didn't have time to get scared because you got to look out for other people. And so everybody's laughing. They're like, ooh, I'm bending over, you know. And it was just that moment. So when we got off the plane, it was like, thank you so much. Oh, I was so scared. But when you did that, listen, some things don't have to be held. In Jesus' name, I bind this electricity over this plane. You don't have to do all that. But look out for somebody else. And guess what? When we got off that plane, I felt fulfilled as a mother. I felt fulfilled that I had helped other people. And we were excited about it. I mean, like, we still talk about that. Do you remember that plane going, whoom, and then he'd come back up, go, whoom, and then he'd come back up. Jake's like, Mom, do you remember what you were making us do? I was like, I know, but you weren't scared, were you? And here's Jesus looking out for us and not looking out for himself, and he endured the cross. So how do the blues, how does the funk, how does the darkness come? When we get out from under our anointing. Oh, I deserve a break. You're going to get broken. You'll get what you say. Or you know what? I'm going to stay under my anointing. And I want to tell you something tonight. It's not too late to stay in your anointing. Luke 21:13 says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. It's going to turn out for you as an occasion for testimony, because my kids will still talk about that plane ride. My kids will still talk about that there was nobody to do a funeral for us and how we just plowed through it and did it. And that doesn't make us holy. That makes him holy. That makes him wonderful, because he's given us the strength in our hearts to break the yoke of oppression. Let his work have its way in you and yield to him and say, I am broken. I can't find the button. I can't find the switch. Lord, I'm going to stay under the anointing. What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? I don't feel like it. Listen. I don't feel like getting up at 6 o'clock and going and picking up bread. I don't feel like getting up on my day off, you know, and going and taking care of grandkids all weekend. There's things I don't feel like. But I either look at that as a burden or a blessing. And if he's given it to me, it's a blessing. And I thank God for it. So while I'm here, I'm going to stay under the anointing. And when you yield to him, the anointing flows. Let's fuel the fire of God and not go what the world says. You don't need what those other people tell you you need. You don't need another man. You don't need happy hour. I'm not saying you can't be happy. I'm saying you don't need that to get through. You don't need season tickets to the Dallas Cowboys to validate who you are. You don't need those things that other people, you don't need to tailgate every Sunday to have your validation. You with me? We're going to trust the Lord. Amen? Now, here's just simply what I want to do, right? I've kept you longer than normal. I apologize for that. But if you just need an extra prayer, I don't want you to wait on me. I want you just to come down to this section and kneel and pray. Yes, there are those of us who will come pray with you, but I want you to begin that dialogue with God. And if you need that tonight, I just want you to move and just begin to come down here. Well, I'll pray. And if you're good and you got the word and you know what you need to do and you're ready to go, go. But if you need a little extra, that's what we're here for. Amen? Amen. All right, Jeremy, Cameron, if you'll put some music on, just be silent. Those of you who need, are Dwayne, you going to play for us? All right, Dwayne's going to play. If you want to go, if you need to get your kids, whatever you need to do, we're just going to take a minute and pray. All right?